You know, after we were talking about being on your computer, Valerie, she was doing the planning commission, and she said when she would put hers on pause and then start it again, it would start the exact same spot that it quit.
Did she do hers through Windows?
I think so.
Because
that's how that's, that's what I used to.
I even tried doing a key, like a control key or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Because when I was telling her that I'd got that machine, she said, well, when I do the minutes, I'll stop it. And when I started, right back up, right in the same spot left, quit.
So,
nope, I don't hurt computer. Yeah, call 653-3486, and her name's Valerie. Yeah, I mean, maybe she'll tell you how she's doing it, but I thought it was on Media Player. That's what that guy said the thing should do. So if it doesn't, I'll just take it back and get her money back on it,
Agenda. Mr. Carter, you want to make a couple changes? Mr. Hugg, do you have the changes that Mr. Carter wanted to?
Yes, I do. I'd like to request that we add as item 9B a discussion of the audit and the hiring of the outside auditor, and as 9C a review of our investment policy and some discussion of our current financial arrangements and some changes that Mr. Carter and I have been discussing.
Okay. I would also like to make a recommendation that we move 9A to the executive session under 10A.
I'm not sure we can do that initially. I mean, our attorney isn't here, but I don't know that we can do that without... You're not talking about specific people. When you get to that point, you can go in executive session, as the way it was explained to me.
Okay. Well, we talk about it then.
Okay.
Anything else?
Although I'd agree with you, it should be.
It's a pleasure of the council.
Make a motion, we accept the agenda as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any corrections or amendments to the minutes? It's a pleasure of the council.
Make a motion, we accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I have nothing. Mr. Jaywork is out of town. Chief, do you have anything? Any questions for the chief? Mr. Hugg?
You have my report in your packet. I have nothing to add at this point. We'll discuss financial issues later.
Any questions for Mr. Hugg?
I have one on the Luby property. You stayed in here, Luby property, without the parking area. Where was that decision made that we're going to strip off the parking area when we sell that property, or if we do?
Actually, from the Business Development Committee asked us to look at segregating the parking area from the balance of the property, and also
Now,
we haven't brought it to council yet until I have an appraisal and a completed survey.
So it will be at that point?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just a reminder, we do need a piece of that property in any case for an electric easement to connect through. So it's also...
Which is in the parking area.
Which is in the parking area.
Any committee reports?
The long-range planning committee met and discussed the topic of annexations, mostly dealing with the way that we've done annexations in the past and some recommended changes in the future where we may, as a council, initiate elections on various properties instead of just taking an individual property as they walk in the door. We might include several. We've come under severe criticism from the state by almost intentionally creating enclaves by not taking in larger areas and having larger elections. And it's been recommended that we do that, and I think it was the feeling.
Public Safety Committee met on June 29th. You have a copy of the minutes on your desk. Any other committee reports?
Mayor? The Business Development Committee had a presentation on the 23rd from Mr. Mark Kleinschmidt regarding the MAC report. There were a lot of people in attendance. We were able to address some items for action, such as seeking secondary education facilities to come to our town, and also minor emergency room facilities that we're looking into. Other than that, we canceled the following meeting since it was just a few days after the workshop. And Dave, when is our next?
Our next meeting will be the first Thursday of
next month.
Next month at 8:30.
August. And that's all I have to report.
Anything else? Now is the time on the agenda for the public to address the council. This will be your only opportunity to do so this evening, so I would encourage you to please come forward. Yes, ma'am.
Jim McKnight. Oh, did you think it? I'd like to read a letter, and I do not want to be interrupted when I read it. Please. Okay. This is to Mr. Cahill. At the last council meeting, it was brought to vote of having train services from Wilmington, Delaware to Dover, Delaware. This is a great idea for us who hate driving in heavy traffic and hate paying the gas prices. This would not only be a convenience for many, but will bring money into our small town. You voted no to this request. As my representative, I feel it's your obligation to tell me why you voted no. And I'll continue. At your first council meeting, I congratulated you and welcomed you to our community. I expressed my opinion how I felt you had a sense of negativity and mentioned that I hope it didn't interfere with your working with the council. Well, at the second council meeting, you rudely interrupted the meeting while a resident of Sunnyside was coming up to the mic to speak. You went on a tirade of how the meeting was not open to criticism of members or spouses or name calling. I sat there and thought, well, I must have hit a nerve. I, too, am not fond of name calling, but will express my sincerest opinion of how I feel about someone. To say first impressions are lasting ones, I was not wrong. I find you to be very negative, arrogant, and feel...
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, would you like to say something at this time, sir, about the appropriateness of the things at this meeting, like we discussed a few weeks ago? Would you like to address it, sir, or should I?
Well, you should. Ms. McKnight, are you almost finished?
I'm almost finished.
Mr. Mayor, I think the time to address it is right now, not when she's finished. These comments are completely inappropriate. They have no business at this public meeting, and I think it's your duty as presiding officer to deal with that issue, sir. Would you please deal with the issue?
Mr. Mayor, he is our representative. I feel he owes us an explanation.
I am not here to be subject to personal attacks, Ms. McKnight, by you or anyone else. If you could please confine your material to things that do not involve personal attacks against me or my wife or any other family member or my friends or anyone else, please do so. We are here to discuss the business of this town.
Your name is Mr. Cahill, and that's who I applied this to, Mr. Cahill.
My personal attitude is not the business of this town.
This is who we have representing us.
Mr. McKnight.
Ma'am, your remarks are out of order. If he won't tell you, I will.
Go ahead and finish your letter, if you would.
They say first impressions are lasting ones. I was not wrong. I find you to be very negative, arrogant, and feel you have a mission to fight with the town of Smyrna. You are constantly saying no to everyone that is brought up for a vote and not have the courtesy to say why. May I ask of you, why did you run for this office and what are we to expect of you? Also, I can't have an old-fashioned clothesline in Bonnier, but you can have a 30-foot sailboat sitting in your driveway. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council?
Yeah, that was unappreciated by me also.
Mrs. McKnight, can you submit that letter for the record, please?
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the council at this time? Seeing no one come forward, I'll close the public portion of the meeting. 8A, said zoning designation, 63.5 acres on Brentford Road. Mr. Hugg, do you have any comment?
I'm going to ask Mr. Lee to kind of walk you through this, and I would ask you actually to consider, I lost my agenda, 8A and 8B, kind of together, if you would, because they are very much related. This is the zoning and the actual resolutions in, annexing these properties. This one's a little bit unusual in that there is some disagreement between what the ordinance provides, what the staff would like to see happen, and what the Planning and Zoning Commission feels is appropriate for this area. I think we hinted at this a month or a couple of months ago when Steve made his presentation about residential design. We have a developer who is seeking a density somewhat greater than the ordinance would provide, and we've discussed with them the notion of some kind of a bonus density, if they'll incorporate some of the elements of what those of us that are planners at least think of as sort of neo-traditional or new urban or good design kinds of principles, which are smaller lots and clusters and narrower streets and alleys and all of those other kinds of features, mixing of housing types, so that you don't have two blocks of townhouses and two blocks of duplex and two blocks of single, but in fact have some blending to it, looks more like a traditional town. So what we're going to do is, the only difference in the whole package that you have before you is this issue of what is the appropriate density for this development. Is it the 4 acres that's permitted for the in the residential zoning district? Is it that plus a bonus of one, or that plus a bonus of two? So we're going to, Steve, if you kind of try and walk through that, the applicant and the engineer for the applicant are here, and maybe they can explain to you what they're trying to do. And I will advise you, this is somewhat new territory for the town of Smyrna. We've tried to.
I would like to comment that I raised this question when this notion was brought up, that, you know, and it was said that this would be very clear, you know, with everybody involved as to what would constitute what bonus density and so forth. Obviously, that's not working.
Well, it's
not very clear.
It's perfectly clear. Okay.
Since we got 3 different sets of paperwork, there's obviously at least 3 opinions.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Lee, would you walk them through this, please, and then.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hugg. As Mr. Hugg has spoken, we are talking about 2 different rezoning applications and for inclusion into the town of Smyrna. The requested zoning on both of these parcels is R2A, which is a medium density residential, permitting wide variety of housing types, including single families, duplexes, and townhouses. Would also permit as a special exception apartment dwellings. It also, in that special exception, cemeteries, institutions of religious, nonprofit, philanthropic organizations, professional offices, medical clinics, and temporary real estate offices in developments containing 10 lots or more. This has been recommended by the planning staff and by the planning commission as R2A, which is what the applicant has requested. There are 2 separate properties here. Actually, there's 3 individual parcels. The farthest to the west would be the properties of G. Preston and Francine A. Burris. The 2002 comprehensive plan identified this area to be annexed within the 5 to 10 year horizon, and recommended 3 to 4 units per acre. At the April 21st Planning Commission meeting, the applicant made their presentation. The Planning Commission listened to them and recommended that council assign the zoning classification of R2A residential medium density and allow up to a 2-unit density bonus. The base density at 4 units to the acre, which is similar to the properties which were annexed for Mr. Ramuno along Rabbit Chase Road, the former Wicks Farms, as the base density, and then bonuses for superior urban design. Planning Commission had listened to the argument of the developer and recommended 2 units, 2 density bonus units to the acre, for an up to 6 with the appropriate design. The applicant had stated that with our central open space plan and some superior design elements the two unit bonus would be appropriate. Staff is still with the 1 density bonus for the reason of the comprehensive plan had recommended that up to 5 units per acre in the medium density, which is recommended on the adjacent parcel, which is Z0404, which was recommended separately in the comprehensive plan. Recommended that that be a medium density of up to 4 to 5 units per the acre. The difference is that staff is looking at these 2 properties as 1 development. With the appropriate design, staff didn't see the difference between making a portion of a subdivision have 1 dwelling unit less per acre than the other, looking at the subdivision as a whole, as the tract as a whole, fostering better design that way. The other recommendations agreed to and added by the Planning Commission are to include the 80-foot right-of-way for Rabbit Chase Road to include the boulevard effect, and that the applicant connect both the residential subdivisions to the north and to the east with both vehicular and pedestrian cross access. Mr. Mayor, at this point, the recommendations are as they are in the staff.
Anybody have any questions of Mr. Lee?
Question, and that what we could choose one or the other, or
yeah,
come up with a, we come up with an option of our own.
We can certainly come up with an option of our own. I think we have that ability to do that.
Okay.
Or do you have some opinions?
No, I was just curious.
I think one of the men would like to speak.
Yes, sir. Just give your name and your firm for the record.
I can just grab one of the.
Tell this person your name, sir.
Mike Ryman. I'm an engineer with the Becker Morgan Group. Like I said, my name is Mike Ryman. I'm an engineer with the Becker Morgan Group, here representing the developer, the Handler Corporation. Andy Fox is here representing the Handler Corporation. basically, what Steve said, what we're here tonight is to ask for the annexation of both of these parcels shown here, the Lamberta property, the 63.5 acres, and the Preston Burris property, 40 acres, into the town of Smyrna. We've gone before planning and zoning and made an argument to request that we be given the opportunity to achieve a bonus density of 2 units to the acre, given that we meet the superior design requirements set forth by the staff. We believe that it will be no problem to achieve these criteria, listing some of those things: architectural quality, recreation, bicycle, pedestrian paths, street trees, landscaping above and beyond what the minimum requirements are, a true mixture of housing, and staggering of setbacks to give a better appearance to the town. Those are some of the criteria that the staff has set forth as a definition of superior design. And we believe that we won't have any problem achieving that. And what we're requesting is that we're given that ability to be able to show the town, the council, that we can meet that criteria. We're not necessarily requesting tonight that we have a by right 4 acres, 2 acres. We're just requesting that we can go forward and be given the ability to show the town that we can achieve a good design and a good neighborhood, and while at the same time achieving a higher density. I've actually brought a plan that we've put together and we've submitted to the town to show you kind of a little bit of what we've done. I don't know if you guys can see this that well. And what we've got is 552 units for a density of 5.33. So really, you know, we're 1.33 above the 4, that the base density of 4. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to mix in some green open spaces, work with the town on some of these things to provide for a better neighborhood. You can see we've got some green spaces here and here, which are actually centered in the townhouse units, to, you know, kind of give an area of open space where there isn't.
Can I interrupt you? Can you point out for our benefit where the townhomes are, where the duplexes are, and where the singles are on this drawing? It looks like the towns are.
It's a little tough to see.
The west side of the.
The towns. It's actually a mixture. The towns are pretty much central here, surrounded by duplexes on each side. There's some towns here. You can see that the skinnier lots, of course, duplexes, singles, and then on this piece, there's towns surrounded by duplexes, surrounded by singles.
What's that on the frontage here?
Where you?
No, on the other piece.
Here?
Yes.
These are singles. Singles around here. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to create a mixed development, which is one of the things that the staff has requested, by mixing the towns with the duplexes with the singles.
Now, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
You said that if we approve this evening, you will have the ability to do this by right. So we want to be clear on that.
Well,
so do you agree with that?
Well, the way I understood it was the bonus was not necessarily granting us 2 units to the acre. We would still have to go through a subdivision process to prove to you that we have a superior design.
This would also fall under our new ordinance that allows us to influence the design of the intermixing of the different types of density.
This would. Just to interrupt a little bit, when we were working on the properties that are immediately north of this, the properties that front Rabbit Chase Road on each side, we introduced the notion of establishing kind of a threshold density and a maximum number of units. And the hope then was, and using the R2A zoning district, which is a much more flexible zoning district than the R2 or R3, and the hope was that we would get more integration of housing types and of the community generally, as opposed to the kind of rigid, this is all one type, this is all another type. We weren't quite as successful in that, although we did get the developer to address Rabbit Chase Road as a boulevard and do some things that will, I think, make that community more attractive and have some interconnections with the other developments. As this property was moving forward, in our discussions with the folks from Handler and with Mike, we again said to them, "Look, we really want this to not just be more of suburbia annexed into town. We really want this to have some feeling of, of the community. And the community is really a mix of small and large lots and different housing types, and has that kind of walkable scale that you don't necessarily get if it's all large single-family lots on fairly wide streets. The way to do that, quite frankly, is to provide an incentive in return for some additional requirements. What would happen tonight is if you chose to give them something like that as to what they're requesting, that would allow them to come forward with a subdivision plan that could potentially go to 5.3 or whatever the number is. Until they actually have a recorded subdivision, which you also have to sign off on, they can't build that. So you still have some control. But I think the thing we're looking for here is the ability to work with the developer and give them some flexibility and say, you do a really good job of coming up with some interesting design, and we'll work with you so that to make it happen.
What's the timeline?
In terms of development and build out?
If it's approved and annexed and the zoning is approved, et cetera, then you intend to get to work right away, I'm sure. Right?
Yes, that's correct. We've actually already submitted a plan to the town. You would probably be seeing it at the next meeting. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. Would it go to council? Just P&Z?
Planning and zoning, so you would be seeing it in August, perhaps, or September, depending on what issues might come up.
How many actual developments will we have under construction with the addition of the...
I don't know how you count developments, I guess, whether you count phases of developments as part of a development. I'd probably answer that easier in terms of potentially approved houses. In this area, you have 850, more or less, roughly 325 on the piece that abuts this. So to the east of this, about 325, to the north, 850, 860 plus or minus, and then potentially 500 and some here. So that's kind of that's excluding the balance of Bonaire and Sunnyside, which are already approved. So there's a pretty large number of houses. Also, just to kind of remind you, as part of the project to the north, and I hope folks in Worthington will bear with us, we did reserve an 18-acre site for a school, potentially an elementary school. There is on this site, and he didn't mention it, but there is on this site a possible well location that we're going to ask the developer to reserve. There's another irrigation well, and so there's some things of that nature that we're still working out. Probably somewhere to the north of this site, a future water tank. But it's
are we going to be able to keep up with all this activity going on as far as inspection?
Sure. I think we have Sundays at midnight still open, if I remember correctly. I don't want to make fun of your comment at all, because I think it's a very serious one. We are experiencing a rate of growth that, quite frankly, I don't think any of us even wildly expected a year or so ago. We're at easily half of the number of building permits for this year that we anticipated for the year, and we're still early in the construction cycle. I mean, we're probably going to see much more than that between now and you know, colder weather. It's one of the reasons that you've allowed Jim Fox to do some other things, because that gives us a way to keep track of some of these larger developments. As you know, we've been turning the screws tighter on a number of the existing developers to get them both to follow the current rules and to do a better job of construction. But there is no way around that this, as all of this moves forward at 300 or 400 or 500 units a year, your town staff is stressed, and it's stressed from planning and zoning to public works to electric to downstairs sending bills out. I mean, it has that impact.
Would you feel comfortable putting a condition on it that the town staff pretty much controls the timeline of new developments? I mean, once we rezone it and annex it, it's out of our control.
I guess, in fairness, the difficulty is that we've, you know, already approved 1,200 units out there in that area that are moving forward, and it's kind of to ask this developer to sort of step back and not proceed. You know, I don't know what Mike would tell you is his timeline, but clearly from this stage to where they actually can begin building model homes is probably, what, a year or close to it?
We're looking at about a year.
Well, Mr. Hogg, let's not forget, we don't want it developed in the county either.
That's right. We don't want it developed in the county, and we have worked out an interim water agreement to service this area, so we bought ourselves some opportunities there. The county has actually...
They've rubber-stamped everything
they have
around us.
But fortunately, they did on this one allow us to allow this development to go directly into the county sewer system, so that helps both of us, because it would have created a timing problem for us. And both developers have agreed to reserve an 80-foot right-of-way with a landscape center median, so that Rabbit Chase doesn't look like a thoroughfare. So, I mean,
what are they going to? Are they going to meter this project separately?
Yeah. This will be metered for sewer purposes. This will be metered separately. When they're actually built out, we'll eventually, when we take over the water system, we'll bill for water, but not for sewer services, and they'll get it. Or else we'll add a county.
Assume in this process also that we're basically operating on the handshake agreement that if we approve X density, the developer could say, "Nah, we changed our mind. We're just going to do R2A and be done with it."
I would suggest if you have that concern at all, that you condition your motion so that it's clear that if they, you know, they can use the default R2A zoning, which would give them 4 dwelling units per acre. If they simply decided, or a subsequent property owner, for some reason they decided to flip this, then, you know, it is what it is if you don't work with us. I think the incentive is sufficient that it works to their benefit and obviously works to ours, but you're right. And don't forget, they still, you know, whoever does this, and I'm assuming that Handler will do it, you know, they have to get a subdivision plan approved by the town council and the Planning and Zoning Commission. So you're not really giving up a lot.
I mean, I think the concept's wonderful as long as everybody's, you know, moving forward on the same page. We may need to become a little clearer between staff and planning and zoning as to what we should and shouldn't be recommending for densities.
Yep.
But you said this plan is presently at 5.33?
That's correct.
Planning and zoning have approved this?
Yeah, planning and zoning basically is recommending the requested zoning with a density bonus of up to 2. So they're actually being
below that.
They're below that. They're being, planning and zoning was, and I wasn't at the planning and zoning meeting, so Steve can correct me, but I think that the sense of the planning and zoning folks that I've talked to is that both down here and particularly as we move across Duck Creek, that we really want to make sure that the developments that occur, you know, have a feeling of being part of town and not just something that otherwise would have been in the county. And that's kind of what they're wrestling with.
I have a real problem with this whole R2A thing out there. I don't know why. I guess I've been used to years of seeing it, you know, countryside, and then all of a sudden you're putting apartments and churches and townhouses, and there's not enough single houses in this plan to impress me at all. And I understand that that's the direction this town's been heading, but I just,
I think it's the direction the whole livable Delaware concept is.
I don't like it. So.
I think one of the things, I'm sorry. I think one of the other things to realize, if you're talking about singles, the property to our, I guess, east will have 350, I think, singles. So you're going to have singles there.
About 400 to the north.
400 to the north. I mean, so we are offsetting that somewhat.
How many townhouses are we talking about in there?
It's, get the exact number, 319.
And how many duplexes?
136.
And how many singles?
97. 17%, 25%, 58%, respectively.
I mean, I know that you've done a really good job trying to lay this out, and I applaud you for that. I just have a real problem with the zoning. And I really don't want to see the county develop it, but
right.
I'm really having a tough time.
Right. I think based on the concept and the work, I mean, this is what the town has been headed towards for at least a couple of years, and the comprehensive plan and the livable Delaware stuff. I think to provide some incentive for, unlike the last developer that we tried to do this with, that we try and provide some benefit to doing that, and I would make a motion that we approve this project at 5.33 units per acre.
I would just, if you could amend your motion slightly to not to exceed.
Not to exceed 5.33 units.
If that's your motion.
Second.
Did you have a question, Mr. Lee?
Are you saying base?
Right, the total density would be not to exceed 5.33 units per acre.
There's a motion and a second. Evans. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carries. Thank you.
And then you should also now approve the resolutions, including the annexing these properties into the town.
I would make a motion, since we've set the zoning, that we approve the resolution to annex the property into town.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Second reading of Ordinance 013-04.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Hensley, can I interrupt you just a second, Mr. Mayor? Mrs. Hensley voted no on the last motion. Mr. Burrett.
Okay. Huh?
Both motions. Okay, thank
gotcha.
You.
Thank you.
Second reading, Ordinance 013-04. What's the pleasure of the council?
I have some comments.
Let's get a motion first.
I make a motion that we approve the third reading.
Second.
Or second reading.
Second.
Second reading.
Yes, discussion.
I said this last week, but according to the charter, Section 6.84, on which this ordinance is based, it clearly states that we're entitled to duly enact an ordinance, provided that whenever unavoidable circumstances prevent the mayor or any town council member from being physically present at a meeting, etc. The emphasis on unavoidable circumstances. Now, in this law that we're talking about tonight, this ordinance, we've included as unavoidable circumstances significant illness requiring a doctor's care and confinement of a person to a home or hospital. Obviously, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with absence from the state due to obligations and commitments related to town business or other public office. I have a little bit of a problem with absence of the state due to obligations and commitments related to an individual's employment of business. And I have a huge problem with absence from the state due to personal commitments, including extended vacations. Now, I don't know how we can possibly call an extended vacation an unavoidable circumstance. I could accept something like a national emergency, like when they shut down all the airliners for 3 days on September 11th, but an extended vacation to me does not even come close to meeting the requirement that's in the charter. Also, on page 3 of this ordinance, first paragraph at the bottom, it says in parentheses, unless by unanimous vote of those physically present at the commencement of the meeting, the town council waives such 8-hour notice, with a question mark. Now,
is that page 4 or 3?
Page 3. Now, does everybody have that on their copy?
It's at the top of page 3. It's in
top
the
of page 3.
It's in bold.
Of that top paragraph.
It's the part that's in bold at the
Now, this may just be a technicality, but I don't see how in the world. I mean, this is a legal document. How are we going to pass an ordinance, a law, with a question included in it?
Because we'll correct that during the third reading is how we
third
do
reading,
that.
Yeah. I mean, the intent here, speaking of Mr. Jaywerk, the intent here was to present you with a, you know, what he saw as a possible question for council to consider. And you
that'll be cleaned up at the third reading.
Well, I don't think in the second reading we ought to be talking about possibilities. I think the first reading we ought to know what law we're passing, not have questions that don't even present themselves until the third reading. The other thing I want to say is that in Section 5, the town council shall not have any duty passed upon the reasons given for an individual's being unavoidably unable to be physically present, etc. What this seems to indicate to me is that we have no right to ask or question the validity of a member being absent or here. This to me is unacceptable. I think that, you know, if people, I feel we have a duty here. We were charged by the citizens to be here. The Freedom of Information Act, the spirit of that is to provide the citizens of our town with the opportunity to observe and monitor the business of our government. Observe and monitor. Now, if we're not here, they can't observe us. They can't see what we're doing. They can't see who we're talking to. They don't know who else is in the room with us. They don't know who's whispering in our ear. I think when we all took on this duty of being on this council, we made an agreement with the people that we would show up here twice a month and we would attend the public meetings where you all can see us and see what we're doing and see the way we're passing the laws and see if someone's whispering in our ear or if we're just sitting up here all alone. Therefore, to have the town council unable to even question this, to me, is just absurd. I think that this, and I'm going to make a motion.
Motion on the table.
Okay.
Is there any other comments?
Well, I just wanted to point out absence of the state of Delaware to obligation, commitment related to individuals' employment, and the fact that we don't have an ability to ask questions about why they're not available. Under HIPAA, you cannot ask if somebody's sick or ill or why they're not here. So there are some legal ramifications to asking those kinds of questions. And I have a feeling that's probably why Mr. Jaywerk included that language. I'm just throwing that out there.
We can ask him in 2 weeks.
We need to check that. But I know there are some legal ramifications to talking about people's illnesses and things of that nature under HIPAA.
Any other comments?
You can just say they're not here.
I just think that this is a very serious matter. It should be exactly as the charter specifies, unavoidable. Okay. And if we haven't written a law, excuse me,
I'll run the meetings, Mr.
Excuse
Cahill.
Me, sir. Robert's Rules of Order state that one person speaks at a time. I have to continue.
No, you may not. You're out of order. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Thank you. Discussion of officers, managers, position, Mr. Hugg.
I had included in your packet, and for some of you who were at the Memorial Planning Committee meeting, I'm sorry, my mind is failing, some materials relating to the issue of office manager and finance director. As you know, we've discussed this matter a couple of different times. Following the last council meeting, I went to the Government Finance Officers Association newsletter, looked for some job descriptions that seemed to be reasonably close to the kinds of duties that I think are envisioned here, and I've attached those for your kind of review and question. Mrs. Hensley also was good enough to give me a couple of job specs from the state that deal with financial management
position.
Yeah. And then I also went to Newark and got their finance director position to give you an idea of what Newark uses. I've tried to get similar positions descriptions from Seaford and Milford, both of whom use a variation on director of finance, and found out that they really don't have very good job descriptions. It's just kind of one of those things that's evolved. It's somewhat like ours. I've also had a very brief discussion, actually exchanged more emails and phone messages with Pam Baker than had the chance to actually talk to her about the question of office manager or changing that to manager of accounting and putting some specific requirements in. It's Pam's position that the office manager slash accounting position really ought to, if not specifically require a CPA, certainly have that as a almost a, you know, a mandatory, certainly a preference. Somebody who is clearly deeply skilled in the accounting area. On kind of the flip side, particularly discussions that I've had with Mr. Carter and more recently today with Mrs. Hensley, it's clear to me that we are moving rapidly into an area of public finance that I think is greater than any of us individually and perhaps collectively. There are a lot of nuances to the whole business of borrowing money, and particularly to managing accounts and picking investments that have the right mix of security, but letting us get at funds as we need them, and rolling costs forward into debt instruments and all those kinds of things. And I clearly think that we have reached a point where we need to move forward with this notion of a finance director. I have not actually tried to write that job description except looking at the City of Newark one to give you some flavor for what that might mean. I think a really good finance person would probably pay their salary in the extra interest earned and fees avoided and all of those kinds of things that, quite frankly, I don't feel comfortable or qualified to do on a day-to-day basis, and I'm not sure that someone with just an accounting background would be appropriate to do either. I'm really kind of just looking for some guidance, I guess, from counsel about whether we go, you know, sort of re-advertise the office manager, but focus more on an accountant, and actually all of these would require some action of the personnel committee, but I'm kind of assuming that that's the next step, or whether we shift gears and look for a finance director first, or whether we try and do both of them at the same time, or we're pretty much together. I do need to respond to the people who originally applied for office manager because they're kind of sitting out there in limbo, and they, as Mrs. Hensley would remind me, they do need a, you know, some kind of closure to this, a letter back from the town. So,
anybody have any comments or questions?
I guess I'm not sure what you want to come out of this with tonight. Do you want approval to hire an office manager and revise the job spec?
I think I want some direction from council on where we want to go. And I would suggest we need to have a personnel committee.
My personal thought is that what we need to hire the office manager slash accounting manager, whatever we're going to title it, sooner rather than later, and that I would like to see us as soon as possible have a personnel committee meeting to hammer out what the new job description is going to be so we can re-advertise that position. I think the finance director is also important, and maybe at that same time we can start working on a job description for that position.
Well, we
that
don't
maybe
have a position established yet, so we can't work on a job description. We have a position.
You got to decide who you're going to want to hire
budget
first.
Issue.
Well,
that's
then
committee.
Once we decide what we're going to require out of that job and some idea of salaries and so forth, we can work that into the coming budget. If we can work it into the budget, then we can establish the position and go forward.
And I think it's important for Mr. Hugg's benefit and the rest of the staff in the building that we do this sooner than later.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
It's just what do we do first? That's the big question. And I was thinking we should do the office manager first, just revise the job spec, re-advertising it, sign board. Until I started looking at that you had cashed in CDs to the tune of $400,000, and my next question was, well, what do we do with the $400,000? Well, it's a general fund now. And at that point, your finance director should be saying, this is what we're doing with that $400. We're not going to spend on general operating. How is that segregated from the, you know, operational budget? You get into all these huge financial decisions that you don't have time to do or want to do, probably. And so I'm not really sure which is most important, the chicken or the egg.
Well, in as much as we don't have the position for,
we gotta
the,
do
for
something.
The finance director, then
do we know yet, Dave, where the line's going to be drawn between the two? So you can't hire an office manager without waiting for the other.
Well, I mean, I had given you kind of the outline of a new job description for what I would call the manager of accounting and business services, which would be like a position title much more closely aligned with what the job really is, as opposed to office manager.
Is that going to be the bean counter that
I mean, if you look at that,
manager's not a bean counter. That's my big problem with that.
Unfortunately, in a small organization, you're not going to be able to totally segregate the fact that there is some office management that's going to go on irrespective. The job description, as I've written it, though, as you notice, would require a CPA, bachelor's degree in accounting, at least 3 years managing an accounting or financial reporting function. I mean, it very much is a sort of hard-nosed bean counting kind of position. Oh, I'm sorry. Here I have. Send it.
How quickly can you redraft the description and get it posted? And is that a 3 month process or?
No, I mean, if council is generally comfortable with the outline that I put together for the manager of accounting title, I can go ahead and put that into a draft job description. We can have a personnel committee meeting next week and move forward with whenever Mrs. Hensley is available to do so.
Is that the same pay as the office manager?
Well, at this point, that's what I was proposing. Pam had a little concern about that. Some of the job descriptions that I attached, that's about in the range. So, but we come back
to
that.
Okay with the salary part?
Well, I mean, the issue here is may very well end up being this advanced hire question again. So that's something that we need to talk about. I don't think we need to do it tonight particularly, but I really focus kind of on trying to get the duties and the minimum requirements.
Are you able to have a meeting next week?
Mm-hmm. Or shortly the week thereafter? I mean, within a week I can have...
We need to do it next week. Okay. The end of this week.
I mean, if council is reasonably comfortable with this outline, I'll go ahead and put it in an actual job description format.
Well, I think you heard that we are, so...
Okay.
I'll schedule a meeting.
And I mean, if need be, you might want to review if we need to adjust the salary thing, then maybe we can...
Well, when you're requiring a bachelor's and a CPA, which we didn't require before, but we're saying it's the same money, aren't going to get anybody.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of issues.
That was Pam's concern, that would be kind of on the low end of what...
I view both of these positions as saving us money, not costing us money.
They do.
Well, let me caution you. We only have one position right now on the books. So if we have the second one, that becomes an ongoing cost that...
Well, again, I think if you've got a finance director that's worth having, that he makes up for whatever his salary is.
Okay.
Well, shouldn't we have a discussion whether we need a finance director or a finance consultant?
Well, why don't we do that at the personnel
meeting?
Like,
we had Kavanaugh come in before. Is that something we want to do again? We're going to have a long discussion on that, but you keep moving forward with the job.
Okay. All right.
Okay, 9A, promotion policy for Smyrna Police Department. Are we going to discuss individual officers?
No, we're just going to set a personnel meeting.
Very likely, Mr. Mayor.
I would suggest that we accept a motion, if that's the case, to handle that discussion under 10A. What's the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion, we move it to executive session.
Is there a second?
Would you like to get rid of the other items on here first?
Yeah,
yes. We'll do those next. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah, for the reasons I stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Motion carries. 9B, audit.
I put in your packet an update on the hiring of an auditor to finish the audit for 2003. Pam Baker from Barbicane Thornton had recommended that we use Haggerty & Haggerty as a firm who had extensive local government accounting experience, auditing experience, and was a firm that they had a number of continuing projects with and felt that they could come in and very rapidly wrap up the actual preparation of the audit documents. Barbicane Thornton will do all the financial reports and everything ready for audit. There was some question that in sort of looking around and talking to folks, apparently Haggerty & Haggerty had some problems a couple of years ago when one of their principals was seriously injured in an automobile accident, and that was reflecting on some of the recommendations I got back from, and Mr. Carter got back from Bethany Beach and Milford, and from at least one private firm. I subsequently went and talked to, or talked and go, phoned Ron Draper, who's the audit director for the state, as well as Greg Farese, the city manager in Rehoboth, and the town manager's, our city manager's office in Delaware City, all of whom either currently use Haggerty & Haggerty or have very recently used them. And the impression I got was that except for the period of time a couple of years ago when the principal at the firm was not available, that they are very highly recommended. Mr. Draper said that, you know, that he thought they would be an excellent firm, and that his experience had been very helpful working with auditees, and as he said, he could not recommend a better firm or individual. We need to move forward on this matter because we obviously want to get this audit done. Barbicane has pretty well pulled the financial documents together, and they're getting close to a position where an auditor could come in and start reviewing, you know, some of their work papers. So unless there's some objection, I'd like to recommend that you authorize me to get a letter of commitment from Haggerty & Haggerty and move forward.
Mr. Carter, do you have any concerns? No, we did. You know, I had indicated at the last meeting that we had some negative comments, but in further discussions with other people, I think we've overcome that. And I would make a motion that we give Mr. Hugg the authority to move forward with Haggerty & Haggerty.
Any other comments?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
You also, as a note with that, noticed that Mr. Hugg gave us an unaudited numbers for the end for 2003, and I think that just looking at them, I think we're going to find that we're pretty close to where we projected we'd be in 2003.
I also put on your table tonight some information regarding our current CD list and the current balances in the various checking accounts that or bank accounts that the town maintains. And I want to speak a little bit to Mrs. Hensley's concern about the $400,000.
Are you doing 9C now?
I'm doing 9C. Is that okay?
I'm sorry.
In what I guess was the 18th of or 22nd, roughly that week of June, we had four CDs totaling about $400,000 that matured. Given our discussions with our capital investment or our capital folks, PNC Capital Markets, and our expected timing for some major capital expenditures, the prudent course of action was either to look at 3-month securities or to cash the funds in anticipation of rolling them and the expected July and August CD maturities into a fund of money that we would perhaps look to an institutional investment service through a bank to operate, as opposed to buying 3-month CDs that were paying on average between 0.75% and about 1.25%. The net loss in interest, which I haven't calculated, but is pretty infinitesimal when you sort of take 0.75% over you know, on a daily basis. It's really not very much money, and it seemed prudent to, you know, to go ahead and cash those out. We are looking at almost $1 million worth of CDs maturing in either July or August, and another $300,000 maturing in September of the almost $3 million CD balance. I agree with Mrs. Hensley. I don't want this to just simply be dumped into the general fund. The general fund is actually a misnomer. The general fund is the central banking account that the town uses. We really have two central banking accounts. One is the sort of general fund or operating fund, and the other is the capital improvement fund. They're both managed through PNC Bank, and they're both for all practical purposes, checking accounts. We parked the money there because we could do it by wire transfer. What we need to do is not only take that $400,000, but these other maturing CDs and come to some decisions about how we invest them over the next, I'm going to say, 6 months, because we're going to need to use some of that funding in anticipation of capital, major capital projects, primarily for design, engineering, and you know, some of those early expenditures, so that we don't slow down some critical projects, a water tower and a substation being the two most important ones. Mr. Carter and I today had lunch with folks from PNC's Institutional Investing Group. They do mostly pension funds, nonprofits, and universities, things of that nature, although they do some work for municipalities, and we're rapidly reaching the level. If you look at the if you look at the current balances, our current balance in CDs is $2.9, almost $3 million, and our current balance as of the 28th of the month was, our actual available balance was $5.4 million, but our working balance is about $2.7. So the town is on any given day got $4 million or so out there in various kinds of funds, whether it's in regular checking or in some kind of CD or other investment. A couple of things that have come increasingly clear to me as I've been tracking the sort of daily balances, keeping over $2 million in the general checking account, even though it sweeps every night and we earn overnight interest and all that, is probably not the most prudent use of our money if we can find a way to use it so that when we need it, we can get it with a phone call or a keystroke and not, pay the penalties for selling short a CD. On some days, we may only need a few hundred thousand dollars in the checking account. On other days, we may need, when the DMAC electric bill comes, it's $300,000 to $400,000. We need, that kind of money available. The short of all this, I guess, is to, A, bring this to your attention. B, Mr. Carter has asked to have a council workshop on the 13th for purposes of really going through our investment strategy in some depth. But I think that, and he can speak for himself, it's certainly my recommendation that we look at some different ways to pool our resources, recognizing the need for security, recognizing the need to protect the public's financial interest, but not committing so much of our funds to instruments that have a specific time period that makes accessing them for capital projects difficult. And quite frankly, even in the slightly rising interest markets today, for 6 month certificates, we were getting quotes of 1.5, 1.6. It really is not, what I consider sort of aggressive or prudent even management of the kind of money we have, we have available to us.
Right, and when we wrote the present investment policy, at least in my recollection, with the intention of getting away from just buying CDs and getting into a real investment strategy. The policy itself was written by Mike Kiria, who worked for us as a consultant after retiring from the city of Dover. When he worked for the city of Dover, he personally managed their investments and stuck to CDs and treasury bonds.
Is there a reason why he's not managing ours now? Because all of a sudden, it's like he's not around. You know,
we only hired him for a short time.
For a period of time. He's asked.
He indicated a desire to really retire.
Yeah, and he's back. When he came to work for us, he was kind of in a period at Wilmington College where he wasn't fully committed, and he had retired from the city. Over the last year, he's indicated to us that he would like to kind of phase down his work. He's got some private interests, and he is pretty much a full-time employee at Wilmington College. And quite frankly, managing these CDs over the last 2 years has been a relatively straightforward kind of process because they've all been tied up for varying periods of time. They're now starting to mature, and
which is probably good. I wish we could say it was by design, but it, in any case.
One of the issues, I think, or one of the recommendations of the institutional investment people is that while we would have an investment account, it would be made up of several sub-accounts because we have different funds of money that require different things. Our rainy day fund is something that could be a little less liquid that we don't need to put our hands on immediately. We have a capital improvements fund, which we know at the beginning of the year is going to have a lot of money in it, and it's going to be falling out of the year.
Is this 915 or 4 CD, the rainy day fund, which is PNC Bank?
There's none of those CDs are earmarked to anything.
Where's our rainy day fund on this?
It's part of that $3 million of total investments. I mean, it is a...
It's not one lump sum. It's just all broken up.
No.
Good Lord. You get more money
that's
on...
What they had suggested was then that you set these different sub-funds up to do different things where you could take, for instance, at the end of 2003, we had $1.8 million in a checking account.
This wasn't my intent on the rainy day fund when I suggested it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference as long as the money's there.
What if it came out of the $400,000 we just put in the general account, whether it's capital or general operating? How do I know?
Do you still have it?
That's what I'm saying. There's nobody around here that's really.
That's why we're making a recommendation to you that we turn this over to an institutional investment firm to do it. When we get around to hiring a finance director, that's something we might want to turn around and give back to them.
I would remind you that the part of the reason we're bringing this to you is that the investment policy that you adopted back roughly 2 years ago, actually the 16th or the 17th of June of 2002, says that, among other things, the town manager will review the investment policy and recommend changes to the town council every 2 years. So this is kind of timely that we do this in any case. Our current policy focuses primarily on certificates of deposit, but it does allow us to invest in U.S. securities or securities of organizations guaranteed or controlled by the United States, like Fannie Mae or whatever. It also allows us to participate in investment pools and including repurchase agreements and what have you through a bank or dealer. We originally spread the money for a couple of reasons, and this was Mike Carey's recommendation and direction. Spread the funds so that we didn't have more than about $100,000 exposure in any one single certificate. Also, to try and balance the interest rates. As you know, the last couple of years have been fairly volatile and generally downhill, which is why we were relatively long on our investment periods at the beginning of the cycle, and while more recently we've tried to manage the funds to make sure that we're getting our maximum return, but.
Comment to Ms. Henley, Scott, that's basically what we would be looking to do is where you would create an investment fund for the rainy day fund, you would create a different investment for the capital improvements, you'd have a different investment for the checking account, might have a different investment for the municipal street aid. It's the
with same individual
kind of,
line items.
Yeah, it's the same, where we get a pot of money and then it gets spent over the course of a year. You ought to be investing that money during the course of that year.
Any other questions or comments?
And hopefully by the 13th, we'll have some at least draft changes to the investment policy.
And up-to-date balances on all of our accounts and those kinds of things. That's what we're working on.
I just wanted to ask David, were you looking for any input on this or just
on the fence?
On the fence.
I'm assuming unless there was some objection that was an acceptable approach. I didn't really put it on the agenda.
I think we gave the town manager discretion. And
did we get more than one price for doing that?
We'll go out and get a couple of prices, but I mean the initial request was, kind of a
stockade-looking fence versus what now is a chain and post, which I think everybody seems more comfortable with.
Which is actually a savings, I think.
Yes.
It is somewhat of a savings.
$3,000.
Will that protect that area better? I mean, I guess neither one.
Well, if we just want to try to segregate it, we don't want to just segregate it and make it look more like the profile of the park itself. But if we put some of that chain across each sidewalk, then the skateboarders might not go to the trouble of stopping and undoing the chain. Because I noticed the other day there were skateboard marks across some of those bricks.
I am so sorry we put the skateboard park in.
Okay.
That seems to be a general.
Let me find my agenda here. Is there a motion to adjourn into executive session?
We just sent item 9A, promotion policy for Smyrna Police Department, to executive session. I don't believe we can do that legally under the Sunshine Law. I think that we have to do that part of the discussion out here in the public, and then when we move to talking about personnel matters involving names, competency, and abilities, if those do go under the guidelines for executive session, I think it would be a violation of the law for us to take this into session. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion that we rescind our previous motion and discuss item 9A prior to going into executive session.
We're in discussion. Well, is there, let me ask the chief, what is it we need to discuss openly before we get into personnel?
I don't need to discuss anything other than what has been presented to you folks in the two memos that you have in front of you. My concern is that if you question me on these members, individual competencies and job performances may well come up and be part of the discussion that would be germane to the issue. That's my concern. Mm-hmm.
But are we first discussing a general policy change that does not involve any individuals or anything that has to be protected under executive session? Because it seems to me that they have to be separated. We've got to discuss the broad policy issue first, which should be done in general session, and then we go into the specifics in executive. That's the way I read it.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you, Councilman, that the discussion of the change has to be done in public. I guess my impression was that some of the councilmen wanted to question me in executive session so we could return, and any questions that concern individual competencies job performance would be satisfied, and when we return from executive session, that would be the opportunity to discuss the overall change. This change can't be voted on in executive session. It has to be voted on in an open session.
I understand that, but are the people that we will be looking at contingent upon this policy change being put into effect? Because if they are, in other words, if we're going to be looking at people that can only be candidates if we change the policy, then just by rational logical procedure, we have to first change the policy so that they will then become candidates. Then we can go into executive session and discuss them. But if we go in, discuss these people, come out here, and we vote the policy change down, well, you know, we just discussed a lot of people that we can't hire. So it seems to me that the logical thing is that we have to first approve the general policy out here in open session, and then we can move into executive to discuss specifics. That's how I read it anyway, because and my concern is to comply with the laws concerning executive session.
I appreciate what you're saying. I can't say anything else that I've already said.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have an attorney here tonight to guide us in this. But I think that this is a very critical, you know, to violate the Sunshine Law is a serious, serious thing.
Well, let's ask the obvious question first. Why do you want to change the policy?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the whole point. You have to start the discussion. If you get into people's competencies and performance, then you have to go into executive session.
Do we need to make a motion to discuss it since we had something else going on?
Yes, I did make a motion.
And
you seconded it.
Yeah, we're having a discussion. That's how it works.
Well, why don't we go ahead and pass the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
No.
That was your motion.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't mean that. Yes.
Oh. So, anyway, my question.
The document that was presented tonight is a change from the original
The original recommendation was to change the policy. The document that's presented tonight is to ask for a waiver to the policy instead of changing the policy.
Okay, why do you want to waiver it this time, Chief?
The Smyrna Police Department presently has a staff of three officers, chief of police, a captain, who is a deputy chief, and a lieutenant, who is the patrol commander. A vacancy has occurred in the lieutenant's position because Lieutenant Bruce Timmons has applied for a disability pension. So we need to fill that position. The staff in a police department answers directly to the chief of police. And it's my feeling that the chief of police has to be comfortable with those who are staff officers within the department. The way our promotion policy currently reads is that an officer must have 5 years time in service with the Smyrna Police Department to be considered for lieutenant, 12 years to be considered for the captain's position. At this particular point in time, what I am requesting from council is the flexibility to waive the requirement for five years time in service as a Smyrna police officer. To waive that requirement at this time, and again, would give me the flexibility to hire from outside the agency if I feel like I need to do that. My intention is to entertain requests for or application for promotion from all Smyrna police officers with over 5 years experience with the Smyrna Police Department. If I don't feel after having interviewed them that I have the right personality, the right chemistry to fill my staff positions, that I have the flexibility to hire from outside the agency.
Would you consider posting it in-house first and then go out if you don't find a suitable candidate?
That's what I tried to just say, yes. That's exactly how I'd handle it. It's the same, frankly, it's the same concept, the same philosophy that was used in hiring me 7 years ago. Council opened up the chief of police's position to anybody within the agency. It was clear, they made it clear that they would interview anyone who was interested. If they felt that individual was competent, they'd go ahead and hire that individual. If not, they would hire from outside the agency. That's what I'm asking for, that same flexibility. Now, my initial request had been a permanent change in the promotion policy. Clearly, obviously, this affects officers in the Smyrna Police Department. The Smyrna Police Employees Union approached me. We met on Friday to discuss the issue, and I understand their concerns. I would have the same concerns if I were them. My concern is, quite frankly, the overall level of excellence in the Smyrna Police Department is not going to rise above the level of the staff officers. However, in some appreciation of the concerns they had, I agreed to a compromise wherein I would ask for a one-time waiver from mayor and council to waive this requirement, this time and service requirement.
Some point in our long-range planning, you had proposed, I guess, some manpower requirements as the town continues to grow. How many staff, like senior staff positions, do you anticipate in the next couple of years?
The anticipation is that
is this the only position, or are there going to be others?
We would have, at some point, we have to add one additional position, administrative officer. To the staff ranks, so we'll be adding one. What I will be doing for the 2005 budget year, we now have four sergeants working as squad leaders. Each one of them has a two-man shift. It's a sergeant, two officers. We have a special investigations unit with three officers in it now that's headed by a corporal. Because of workload, I want to increase that to four officers, and for 2005, I'm going to ask for an additional sergeant position to command the Special Investigations Unit. So I anticipate, with approval from council, that there will be more staff opportunities and promotion opportunities in the near future.
How many potential candidates do you have for this lieutenant position?
From within the department,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to count, but probably five, six, seven. Don't hold me that number, but somewhere around that.
Who's the fill-in on Mr. Simmons' job now?
Who's doing it now? Sergeant Wilson.
You think he's qualified to move up to lieutenant?
I think that's the, what my concern is about executive session.
Yeah, that's for executive session. Yeah, we can't talk about names here, I don't think.
Well, does anybody have any direction of where you'd like to go with this evening?
I trust the chief to know that he knows what's best for his department. And I applaud him for tackling this, because this is not an easy issue to tackle. So there must be a real good reason for this. And so I would support him and grant the waiver. And that's my feeling.
My only concern about the whole thing is that, a motion? That the rest of the officers are okay with it. I know you're the chief and you need to operate this department the way you want to operate it. I just want to make sure everyone is on board with what you're doing.
Well, it depends, Councilman, you know, how you define okay with it or on board with it. It is against their best interest as far as promotional opportunities. I recognize that. I guess at some point I have to stand on my record for 7 years I've been the chief of police. I've worked hard to increase the level of morale in the police department. With council, we've worked hard to get salaries up. I think we're one of the best equipped police departments in the state. They have some of the best resources. At some point in time, it gets to the point where it's my judgment to take this police department to where I want it to go. I want the flexibility that if I have to go outside the department to find somebody new, that I can do that. I mean, I've pointed out there's a number of management models that really encourage at times going outside an organization to bring somebody in, new blood, new ideas, and those kinds of things. Like I said, I just feel like there's a level I want this police department go to. After I interview all the individuals in our department with 5 years or more experience, if I don't believe that individual is there, I'd like the flexibility to go outside. And that's what this waiver would accomplish.
What's the pleasure, Councilman?
Okay, I'll make the motion that we go ahead with the chief's promotion the way he has it written, except to make sure that it's posted in-house first and that you make every effort to hire someone from our department. If you're unable to do that, then go outside and find someone.
Any other comment?
Well, you had a meeting Friday with the employees union.
Yes, sir.
Group. What were their concerns? What did they state as their concern?
To summarize, it's basically the fact that it would hurt promotional opportunities for the officers right down through the ranks. You promote to a lieutenant. I think their assumption is that I would promote a sergeant, which in turn would open a sergeant's position. Again, the assumption is that a corporal would be promoted, which would open a corporal's position, you know, right down the line.
Yeah.
I guess one of my concerns is I'm not sure that I like the idea of a police department where if you manage to hang on long enough and achieve a certain seniority, that you're guaranteed some kind of promotion, particularly to the staff-level position. I mean, that it's so important that the chief and his staff officers work well together. I just think it's a mistake for any kind of assumption that you're just automatically going to assume that position if you hang around long enough.
I understand where you're coming from, of course, and I also understand the concerns of the employees. But ideally, in your department or anybody's police department, you would promote within and hire at trainee level all the time.
That's I agree 100%.
Right.
I understand the can of worms I opened, and I guess, you know, my hope is that with the relationship I've established with council for the last 7 years, that you would understand that this is not something that I did lightly. I would not ignore an application for promotion from within the agency if I thought that individual could perform as I wanted them to perform.
I would like to make a recommendation, or ask him one more question. And that, would you like to go into executive session before we vote on this?
It depends upon whether.
I think we need to be specific. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to vote for it until I hear some other reasons.
Are you saying you want to hear about competencies and abilities of some of the?
If he feels he needs to talk about some of his personnel, then yeah, that's what I mean. You want to make that motion?
Sure.
I'll make a motion. We go into executive session to discuss competencies and abilities
of individuals.
Of certain individuals. Yeah.
A motion to go into executive session will supersede the first motion. The other motion will still be on the table when we come back.
Right. We'll come back from executive session and take up the issue of the.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We can go downstairs if you'd like.
Sure. Do you want me to stick around? Yeah. No, he's trying to stop it. Hey, Jim.
Yes.
I haven't seen my daughter's in the band, and I haven't seen much of her since she got here.
Yeah.
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 Is there a motion to come out of executive session?
I so move we come out of executive session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. We have a motion on the table to adopt the policy change that you have in front of you, dated July 6, 2000.
The one-time waiver?
Yes, one-time waiver.
With Mr. Hill, you want to review your condition?
Okay, we put a condition on it that we go ahead with the chief promotional policy with a stipulation that he does it in-house first before he makes any attempt to hire anyone. And then after that point, if he can't get anyone within the police department, he's posted outside of the police department.
We have a proper second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Our motion maker was Mr. Hill.
Hill, second by Hensley.
By Hensley.
Vote 5-1. The next issue is the matter to reconvene into executive session to discuss an employee and a personnel issue. What's the pleasure of the council?
The motion we go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bob, I hate to ask you this. Would you mind convening to the lobby? Be a lot easier than.
Not a problem.
Sorry to ask you to do that.
I'll also excuse myself.
Okay.
Get that door closed on your way.
You can excuse me. Go outside.
Okay.
Is she leaving?
Yeah.
You want me to take minutes?
Take minutes if you would like, sir. Probably not appropriate if I do.
I don't think so.
Just speak very slowly. We were discussing issue of whether or not to place a letter in Mr. Hugg's file with the concerns of the council and the cost of the cleanup that the citizens had to incur. Lack of performance by Mr. Kobus, is that?
I'd like to make a couple of comments, and having been somewhat involved in the
talking to some other municipalities about auditors, and I just wanted to say that I don't disagree with Ms. Hensley's recommendation. However, I found in talking to a couple of towns that our situation was not unique, and that I think that probably a large portion of what happened is that our office manager position, very similar to other municipalities' office managers' positions, was never anticipated to do the job that it has grown into. The rapid growth, the change in business, the adoption of new accounting systems and stuff was basically beyond the capabilities of the position that we hired for. And I think that's the comments that I got from other municipalities. That was the same problem they had. The job just overran the applicant or the guy that was in the position.
Were they aware that the guy wasn't able to do the job?
You know, I think that most, in most cases, no. You know, obviously at some point it becomes painfully apparent, whether it's when the auditors walk in the door or, you know, at some point when you ask for certain information and you don't get it. The similar feeling from some of the town managers is that, yeah, ultimately the town manager is the responsible guy. You know, everything stops on his desk, so yes, he bears some responsibility in it. But they kind of likened it to if Sam put the wrong transformers in your subdivision, you know, can you hold Dave responsible for that?
I'm not holding Dave responsible for hiring probably somebody that was in over his head. I'm holding him responsible for the money that we had to spend to clean up the mess that went on for so long.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily
object to what you recommended in the last meeting is just because of that. I think at some point we should have known there was a problem. And
Mr. Hill, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I don't think we should beat this to death. I think Dave knows that maybe what he did rehiring Mr. Kovas wasn't exactly the right thing to do. I think he's in a situation at the time where you need to do something right away. And I still think that we should put a letter in Dave's file just explaining what happened and our concerns on it.
I'm actually
appropriate to do that.
You know, under the circumstances, I'm actually less concerned about the fact that he rehired Mr. Kovas to do what he was doing, because at least he knew how the thing worked and it was being overseen by the auditors. But I'm more concerned at the situation that we had drug on way longer than it should have before we should have known that there was a serious problem. And if we had to go out and hire auditors early and send them in and say, we just need you to go check and see what's going on, we probably should have done that.
Mm-hmm. Is that a motion, Mr. Hill?
Yes, it's a motion.
Second.
I wasn't at the last meeting, but at the personnel committee meeting where this was first brought up, okay, and Terry Jayworth was there, and have you all decided since then or at the last meeting who was going to write or draft this letter?
Jayworth is for our review. Yes.
Okay. Because something about disciplinary due process and that sort of thing came up, and I guess that's been addressed.
Yes.
I think we also have an obligation to hear if Mr. Hugg would like to make any comment. Or
no, I think I've previously
expressed yourself. Okay, thank you for that consideration. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Can we have a motion to reconvene? All in favor?
Let me bring her back.
Open the door.
That's a good song.
Tough way.
Did you get down the east way recently? Did you get down the Outer Banks?
No, not since last month.
Okay.
bunch of stuff over there anyhow, I think.
Is there anybody out there?
No.
Hello?
We're
it's
it.
Me.
Is there any other business? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Third and fourth.
I'll be there.
The mayor to attend that Sunday.
I'll be there.
What is it?
It's a powerhouse. It's
powerhouse.
Yeah. You're talking about.
We need to RSVP individually on
yes,
that
you
too,
do.
And I haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
Carter
and
Barrett.
Too.
Yeah. That's on the Sunday. During the
week. If not, they'll correct it.
I'm sure they will.
All right.
You will be there.
Yes, sir. He's going to be
the new manager.
Hey, I'm on vacation the week.
I put that recommendation.
I don't think it is a Sunday.
We're talking about Powerhouse Ministries, Rich.
I've got tomorrow calls.
Yeah.